Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Happy 4th of July. One of the biggest events on Muncie's arts calendar is now just a couple of weeks away. The Ball State Discovery New Musical Theater Festival, July 18th through the 20th. The festival is devoted to unpublished musical theater writers and their musicals. Three works were chosen, and they will be presented as concert readings performed by Ball State students, actors from the community, and professional artists. Industry professionals will select one of the productions to be performed at Ball State and as an entry in the Kennedy Center's American College Theater Festival. At the center of all this is Beth Turcott, a professor of theater and dance at Ball State.
In 2010, a group of students and I at the Virginia Ball Center for Creative Inquiry wrote the musical The Circus in Winter, and it has done exceedingly well, especially for an undergraduate project.
From Kathy Day's book from her Peru experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And it opens in October 23 of this year at Goodspeed Opera House in Connecticut, so it's its professional premiere. And because of the success of Circus, I've been able to meet just a tremendous number of professionals in the field, producers and directors and actors, et cetera. And I've had to learn this process of how to take a show from Ball State as an undergraduate and kind of hit and miss and how to make something move beyond the life here at the university. And I kind of found a little track, not that it'll always work, but I thought, well, shoot fire. I can, you know, try to work on another new project and see where we can move it along. So I came up with the idea of the Discovery New Musical Theater Festival. And with the generous support of the Discovery Women's Group and the Provost Immersive Learning Project, I created another immersive learning project and a group of students put together application information after studying for several months on how and what and who did other new musical theater festivals across the country. And so we kind of took that template, mixed it, matched, and made our own. And we were told for the first musical festival, especially in Indiana, that we could expect between 30, 40 applications. And we got over 139, from mostly New York and Los Angeles, but some from local theaters in the country, but primarily well-respected composers and lyricists.
So before you even sell a ticket, that's a success in one sense, isn't it?
The students did a remarkable job, and their marketing and their skills on social media, et cetera, just got the word out, and Facebook certainly helped too. And so it's, and then I developed a class and divided the class up, and they took chunks of the 139 musicals and made presentations like they were producers and trying to, you know, get the class to vote for it. And we narrowed it down to three musicals, which we are producing at Cornerstone Center for the Arts in Muncie Civic Theater. It's a concert performance, no sets and costumes, just sitting in chairs and performing the pieces. And then the winner, if that's such a thing, of those three pieces, we will fully produce at Ball State Theater a year from this fall in the season. So then I'll try to move it along like I did the Circus in Winter. And this summer we have remarkable people coming in, not just the young artists in the community and from the university who will be performing. And we have remarkable university professors directing and folks from Cornerstone, Robbie Tompkins and Todd Salmon from Civic. And we are also bringing in guest artists who will respond to the pieces, including Ken Dingledine, who's vice president of Samuel French Publishing, Brian Nitschkin, who is a producer, director from Los Angeles, and Brandon Huldeen, who is the chair or director of new musical theater projects from the National Alliance of Musical Theater in New York. So we have just a handful of really remarkable folks coming in.
Why new musical theater? Why not just a regular new theater?
There are a lot of plays. Jennifer Blackman, for example, in our department has a new play festival every spring or fall. And musical theater is my love. We have a BFA in musical theater. And through my connections in New York now with the Circus of Winter, it was just a really wonderful step for another immersive project, which I believe so much in, to further the department and college.
Immersive learning means the students are kind of directing the project.
Yeah, I consider myself a backseat driver, you know, with kids that just kind of got their license. And so, you know, if they want to turn a left and maybe they really shouldn't, you know, I kind of, you know, hang straight or hang a right or let's park for a while, you know. So it's all student driven. And I'm just very proud of the work that all the students have done.
What's going on in the world of musical theater now?
Well, in New York, it's a lot of Disney. It's a lot of old movies that have been reinvented as musicals, novels like Bridges of Madison County that just closed on Broadway.
There's a musical out about Carrie now, the Stephen King book, right?
Yes, that started out at a new musical theater festival in New York. So there are a lot of opportunities for musical theater because people know that it's what makes the money in theater sometimes, most of the time. So also trying to find new voices out there because
you're not bragging about that. You just want, you know, for people who might be interested in the viability of this, that's an important thing. Yeah. This is what audiences are saying they want.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a New York voice, and sometimes it's so difficult because of expense and et cetera. And mercy me, I should know, of getting a show to Broadway. So, but there are a lot of young voices and professional voices that have not been heard before. So I see this festival as an opportunity to hear some young and professional artists and new work and getting it out there and see what we can do with it.
Beth Turcotte, a professor of theater and dance at Ball State, who is the guiding force behind the Discovery New Musical Theater Festival, July 18th through the 20th at Muncie Civic Theater and Cornerstone Center for the Arts. Tickets and other details at bsudiscoveryfestival.com.
Indiana Weekend, Real Radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
My name is Beth Turcotte. I'm a professor of theater and dance at Ball State University for 33 years. And I'm working on the Circus in Winter in Connecticut, New York. And also the new project is the Discovery New Musical Theater Festival that will open this July 18th and 19th in Muncie Civic Theater and Cornerstone Center for the Arts.
So you had this book by Ball State professor Kathy Day, kind of based upon her family's experiences. You and your students turned that into a musical. What did you see in that that you thought to yourself, hey, I can make a musical out of this?
I trusted my students. I trusted Tony Edmonds, who taught the book in his honors course, and my students had taken his course with him. And I also believe in an inspiration, whether it's divine or not. I believe in divine inspiration. So it has just been a beautiful wind tunnel of whoosh, going through from Ball State to the Kennedy Center, where we won 11 awards, on to New York for a reading with Sutton Foster, into our first professional, fully staged piece in Goodspeed Opera House in Connecticut.
Did there come a time when you found yourself on the phone with somebody or in an office in New York and they're kind of disbelieving this or something?
I mean, oh, everyone did. You know, it's really a lovely, let's put on a musical with Judy Garland, Mickey
Rooney. I love this. Somebody from Muncie, Indiana.
Yeah. Well, we were pretty naive and fun, but we met the right people at the right time and they responded to the show and to Ben Clark's music primarily. And so it's just been a wonderful journey, although I've got the gray hair to prove what's gone on the past 4 years. So,
and quite a learning experience, right? And
that's
what led to your being able to put together the festival.
Absolutely.
These contacts that you met, these people that you met.
Yep.
So the festival is a competition on the one hand, and that's why there's so many entries. People feel like
they don't get their chance to have their pieces produced, fully produced, you know. Sometimes it'll be a reading like we're having, and most often it is. But very few times do a lot of these musicals get a chance to have a on-stage, fully produced production.
And when you do a reading like this, what will we see as the audience? If we come in and...
There'll be people sitting in chairs and a pianist and a conductor, and they will perform the entire musical and music. Then the composer and lyricists and book writer will be there to respond also, as well as our guest artists that I mentioned before.
And that's a step in the evolution of a piece toward...
Because we need every book writer, lyricist, composer needs to hear it, especially through other people's voices and vision, and it informs them changes that might need to be made or things that need to be cut or new song where a song needs to be laced in. Oftentimes, it's a chance to hear how the audience responds. Something they may have thought was funny may not be. So it's a real learning experience and a wonderful opportunity for the composers and lyricists.
Was there a time at which you were a
performer?
Yeah,
I'm not a writer.
Yeah.
Heck no, I had to count on the students. That's why I was a backseat driver.
You're from Evansville.
Originally.
And you have a lovely southernness to your voice.
Yeah, well, you know, I go visit my folks and it comes right out again, you know, so.
What about your own, as you grew in all of this, what were sort of the formative experiences that you had?
Oh, my goodness, child. Let's see. I had an extremely supportive mom, you know, and Evansville was a cultural hub for the art. I mean, it was really wonderful, but I had a wonderful experience in graduate school, and I've been teaching here at Ball State for 33 years. So I've been involved in a lot of overseas opportunities in China, and I directed a project called Universities that were here. And I started the Cornerstone Center for the Arts back in 1990. So I've always believed in recognizing unheard voices and giving those voices a platform to be heard. So,
what do you like best about working with students?
I'm always surprised. I'm always in wonder of what they come up with and how hopeful and joyful they can be, and how it is, I think, my responsibility to keep them on that path to learn, and so that when they leave Ball State, they have that immersive experience so that they're a step or two above or away from some of the other folks that haven't had that real life experience. And for example, Ben Clark, who wrote the music, has just been able to meet folks and perform with Sutton Foster, being interviewed, and he's already got another commission for another musical. And that's coming right out of undergraduate work. So it's been just a remarkable experience for the university and for the department.
It is such a digital age. You can't walk into somebody's house without seeing some giant window-sized, wall-sized television. How have audiences changed, would you say?
I don't know that they have changed that much in the theater. They're just getting older. I think the challenge of most not-for-profits, at least outside of New York, is to reestablish, try new things. And I'm hoping this festival will be one of them, to bring some folks back to the theater or to Muncie Symphony Orchestra or what the museum, Owsley Museum. I think it's a challenge, which I always believed in, is that you start young. And when the arts programs were cut from the schools, I felt like that starting out the Muncie Center for the Arts, and now Robbie has certainly moved it along with Cornerstone, and Todd with the Muncie Civic Theater, getting young people involved so you not only build young artists but future audiences and financial supporters.
Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight.
That's Beth Turcotte, just 2 weeks away from the Discovery New Musical Theater Festival, reflecting on how theater has changed and how audiences still respond to live performances. The festival is July 18th through the 20th. For more details, please have a look at bsudiscoveryfestival.com or drop me a note.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
College towns like Muncie are magnets for all kinds of arts programming, but you rarely see something on the scale of the Discovery New Musical Theater Festival, July 18th through the 20th. More than 130 entries from around the country, an immersive learning class at Ball State that went through the entries to pick three finalists, and in 2 weeks, a schedule of concert readings performed by students, actors from the community, and professional artists. Beth Turcotte is the professor who made it happen. She says audiences are changing, and the theater is changing with them.
Do young people today have any unique strengths that maybe people as performers and other creators in this art didn't have in the past?
I think they think on different levels than they ever did before because, so for example, back in the day of musical theater, you had a singing chorus, a dancing chorus, and lead singers, actors. Nowadays, because of the cost of theater, et cetera, casts are smaller, and generally the person cast in chorus also has the small roles and also sings, so it's not an individual sport anymore. It's one person has to do multiple things, and I think people think that, young people think that way. For example, my daughter can hold an entire conversation while she is, you know, on her phone sending a message off to someone else about who knows what. And people just think different. It's quicker. They want music and they want shows faster for some reason. I mean, most people want to be in the theater for 2 hours and out the door, you know, anything past that. So there's a little bit of patience that's not there anymore. With television and commercials and quick ads, et cetera, people's attention span is a lot shorter than it used to be, and they don't quite have the patience they used to. And theater, as opposed to television or film, you have to invest because they're the other player in the story that's being told.
We, the audience, are the other player.
Yeah. You have to listen. You have to applaud. You have to laugh. There's silence. And the actors, the artists, respond to that and give and take depending on what the feedback or the other artist, the audience, is responding to or giving them.
Are productions and the way that audiences are being exposed to the theater, are those things changing because of that? Are you working in smaller venues now or choosing pieces that are less elaborate?
Again, I'll have to pull away from New York because you're talking about a $10 million budget there, and that's probably for, you know, medium show. But around here, I think a lot of people are more interested in recycling. You know, when we did Cirque du Winter, the young men that designed our set went out and found old barn wood and reinvented it through the set. I think people all along in theater have played in storefronts because it is less expensive. Shows, oftentimes, I know a lot of publishing houses and certainly the festivals, not only here but other places, want casts that are 15 or less, or a play that are 8 or less. Again, actors that are in it because of the amount of cost, and smaller the better. You know, it's more
holding
cost
down
efficient.
The cost. And
absolutely. Yep. So it's a little bit different world. So it's faster and quicker and more expensive.
Can you turn any story into a musical? You're not on the writing end. You're on the directing end.
Someone could, maybe, wherever. But there are certainly, when I read a book or I hear music, my mind, it goes into that. And
yeah.
Creating a picture or a story.
To a certain extent, audiences want familiarity, right? I mean, that's why we're still seeing Oklahoma.
I think in New York, especially when you, certainly Oklahoma and local stages, because people love the music. But again, it's not that younger people don't, but I think it's a generational thing somewhat. But in New York, I think there is, when people are going to spend $200 or $300 for a ticket, they either want to know that it's one of Tonian's doing well, or that it's Disney. It's something that it's comfort food, so they can see something they already love but reinvented in a new way, and then they'll invest in that. So it's difficult for a lot of no-name big star shows to take off because of people are oftentimes hesitant to put that kind of money into seeing a show they're not sure of. So a new show or a new musical that's no name and, you know, from an undergraduate program in Indiana, Ball State, is
this is what you were fighting. So against that,
yeah.
How did?
Well, we've really, I can't talk about a lot of the stuff because of contract stuff, but Hunter Foster, who is just closed on Broadway and Bridges of Madison County, and he's getting ready to open in another show pretty soon, is now our book writer for the Circus in Winter, working with Ben Clark. And the lovely thing about that is that we had 15 young voices that I tried to be mindful of to make sure that they were all heard in the script. But it was a little schizophrenic when you have 15 writers, you know. So Hunter now is going to be taking those voices and bringing them into one so that he and Ben will create this really wonderful blend of story and music.
If somebody sees that the festival's coming up,
yep,
what would you want them to know? Would you'd say, come out and see this?
I would say, come out, see this, hear this, and participate in this. And widen your view of what musical theater is, support, and not just to listen to the new pieces and support the young artists, but to support the Downtown Arts and Muncie Civic Theater and Cornerstone Center for the Arts, because all the proceeds from this festival will go into programs for their young people.
This is going to be fun. I mean, this is sort of PG material in some cases, but this is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, for someone who's not, you know, been around for a read before, maybe they're thinking this isn't the full-blown costumes and the whole orchestra presentation, but it's still,
but it's wonderful getting this storytelling that you, and I'll tell you what, when you have a great story and music to tell, you visualize what could happen, and each person will see it a little bit differently, and I think that's what's going to be great for the young composers and lyricists, to see how the audience responds and what they bring back from the story.
Beth Turcotte of Ball State University, the professor of theater and dance who has organized the Discovery New Musical Theater Festival coming up in a couple of weeks. These will be musical concert readings performed by professional artists, Ball State students, and actors from the community. It's July 18th through the 20th at Muncie Civic Theater and Cornerstone Center for the Arts. All the details at bsudiscoveryfestival.com. And that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
To me, it's as much nourishment for the soul as food is for the body to be involved in the arts and participating. It's a connection that we oftentimes now are becoming less connected to people. We're in smaller rooms and communications at our fingertips and not in person so much. I believe that the arts, the museum, the symphonies, etc., are true spiritual nourishment for us and a connection to something that is greater than we are, that I think we all strive for.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beauty Rest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.